What a joy to stand with you. What a joy to be here this evening with you in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. It's just always such an honor to stand up here, to be here at Times Square Church with always just grateful. Each time I'm able to come up here, it's just such an honor to be able to serve under these just amazing men of God, our pastors and the elders. And I'm just really sometimes just overwhelmed. Every time I get up here and I sit down and I listen to the testimonies and I listen to our time in worship and I listen to the choir, and I'm just like, man, Lord, thank you. Thank you. It's only by your grace that I'm here today to be able to share with my brothers and sisters. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Praise God. Man, it's just, amen. So grateful for my mama who told me not to give up, told me to go back to college. I was ready to quit. She said, no, you go back. I know everything's been a mess, but the Lord told me that I think if you go back and you commit your life to him, he's going to bring you a wife. Sure enough, I went back to college and I met my wife. Praise God. Thank you, mommy. Met this beautiful woman. We dated for about 4 years, and she ended up coming back here to New York, and I went off to Bible school as I had recommitted my life to the Lord. And during those years in Bible school, boy, I was fighting and wrestling God. And I mean, you know, you can't win a fight with God. He beats you down every time. And it was this one particular night in Bible school. I was just ready to quit and give up. I'm not going into ministry. I'm not going to preach this word. I'm just a mess. And didn't realize that God likes to take a messy situation and put just his grace all over the thing. And I tried to run, and I jumped in my 1986 baby blue Mercury Topaz. Y'all don't even know what that is. It's okay. They retired that long time ago. And I remember driving through a blizzard, just yelling and fussing with God. And everything was done. And I'm done. I'm done trying to please my dad. I'm done with Bible school. I'm done with everything. And I drove right through this blizzard about 4 or 5 hours. I got to a payphone and I called my girlfriend at the time, now wife. And I said, it's over. I was just boo-hooing, crying. You don't want to be with me. I'm a mess. You know, just everything's falling apart. I don't do anything right. I don't eat any good. And I'm going on and on for about 5 minutes, and then I realized nobody's saying anything on the other line. And all of a sudden I hear this voice, which is not my girlfriend's, because she got tired of listening to that and she put her mom on the phone. And her mom, now my amazing mother-in-law, goes, David, in the name of Jesus, she said, you come to this house right now. And I said, yes, okay. And I veered off and drove to their house. And she sat and she laid hands on me and cast out every wicked spirit and every spirit of depression, every spirit of doubt. And I mean, she just went to pray, and I boo-hooed and wept all night. And then she gave me a cup of coffee and said, now you get back to that Bible school and you finish what God has started. Praise God. So I finished Bible school and I completed and moved on and moved into ministry and married that beautiful young lady, and who now is the mother of our beautiful 3 children. And thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. And thank you, Mom. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to read just briefly with you out of John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and this just, man, this was just stirring in my heart all week, just this message of just healing. And if I were to give this a title, it would be Sunday's Healing. And in John chapter 5, you can turn there if you'd like, if you're free to just listen. It says, in beginning in verse 1, that after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate of a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which meant house of mercy, which has five roofed colonnades, which means it was kind of this, I'm still trying to figure it out, but it's kind of like almost like these balconies, kind of these rooftops like all around it, right? And in verse 3, it says, in these lay a multitude of invalids. There was blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? And the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water's stirred up. And while I'm going, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed and walk. And at once the man was healed and he took up his bed and walked. Now, this is just a fascinating story to me as scripture talks about this place where Jesus comes into Jerusalem. He was actually coming to partake in this Passover feast. And here he comes to this place, Bethesda, the pool of Bethesda, where it was this place where at times the waters would stir. It was almost, you know, if you look at it, the biblical history being that almost the angel of the Lord would come and stir these waters and it would be a demonstration of God's mercy that whoever could get there first, there would be a healing in the body. And scripture tells us that there was multitudes of the blind and the lame and the sickly. They were all around this pool waiting for this moment. And there's one of these guys, he's been sick for 38 years. And that's a long time to be sick. It's a long time to be enduring something that holds you down, that has crippled you, that has left you unable to move forward or to get anywhere that you really want to get. But 38 years he'd been laying there. And when Jesus shows up, he knows this right away. And for me, this really represents just an all-knowing God. And he knows. He knows how long we've been sick. He knows how long we have suffered. He knows how long we have maybe lived our life in sin. He knows how long we've been depressed. He knows how long we've had doubts. He knows how long we have suffered in our own homes. He knows the struggles that we face. He knows. And time after time and year after year that I've had to endure certain things in my personal life, it's just not realizing that Jesus, he knows. And in him knowing, he's going to respond. And in him knowing, he's the answer. And in Jesus knowing our situation, in Jesus Christ, there's a miracle waiting for you and I. And he knows that he comes to this man. And this is so interesting. He finds him lying there and he says, do you want to be healed? And what a question that Jesus would ask. But the answer I find funny. The sick man answered and said, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. And while I'm going on, another one steps down before me. And he didn't really answer the question the way he needed to answer the question. You know, I mean, if you and I are going through something that we're facing and knowing that Jesus knows our situation, if he asked, do you want to be healed? For me, I'd say, yeah, let's do this right now. It's been 38 years, you know, and whether the lame man really knew who he was or not, but it's a simple question. Yes. But it's amazing how rather than just answer the question, yes, rather than just believe for the healing, rather than just receive the healing, rather than be confident in knowing that I'm going to say yes because it's been 38 years and I need a change. Instead, we respond with excuses that seem to be a hindrance to our miracle, our breakthrough. And so here he is. He needs a healing. He needs a change. You know, let me speak spiritually regarding 38 years of being sick. Maybe there's someone here this evening, you've been in sin for a long time. Maybe you've come to church. Maybe you're visiting today, but you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus. Maybe this question has arisen, maybe just in your quiet time or in thought, or maybe even in prayer. And just that question, man, do I really want to be set free from sin? Do I really want Jesus? And it's amazing how we respond with excuses. Huh? Every time I try to get myself together, people just get in my way. Oh, there's always some drama going on. That's why I can't do this. I needed somebody to help me. I just got some questions I need answered, but nobody's really helping me. And it's amazing how, rather than just respond to Jesus and say, yes, here I am, we come up with excuses. And we react with our own doubts or our own struggles. And I got to tell you, maybe you haven't received the help that you wanted to get, maybe from family members or from even moms or from dads. Or maybe you've been disappointed constantly with people that are close to you, that you thought that they were going to walk this out with you. And yet here you are alone. Maybe you're struggling with loneliness. Maybe you've been struggling with loneliness for a long time. But tonight, the question still stands. 2,000 years ago, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be set free from sin? Do you want a breakthrough? Do you want Jesus to touch your life? Do you really want him to take hold of your life? Do you really want to surrender everything to him? Not just the obvious or the easy parts, but I'm talking those sub basements of our heart. Those areas in our life where we still haven't forgiven our father, or maybe we haven't forgiven our mother, or maybe we're still bitter towards someone who has abused us verbally or abused us physically. And maybe deep down in there, we haven't forgiven. We still have bitterness that is still deep inside of our heart. Do you want to be healed? Is this your day for healing? Is this your day for change? Will you allow God to go in and reach into the deepest places of your heart and bring healing to the sub basements of your heart? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, I've been to some brownstones in Brooklyn where they don't just have a basement. They got a sub basement. Some of them even got like a sub basement. You don't go down there. But that's how we are sometimes. We have certain things in our lives that we have locked way down in a sub-basement, as if Jesus can't reach down and touch that area and bring healing. He says, do you want to be healed? No more excuses. No more pointing finger to those that have let you down, who've disappointed you, who've broken your heart. Sometimes we find ourselves just pondering and trying to figure out why the boyfriend that I had is still not with me, or why the girlfriend that I thought was supposed to be the one, why she not with me? And yet, all the while, here's Jesus today still saying, do you want to be healed? Do you want to move on? Do you want to get up? Now watch. I love this because Jesus says, you get up, take up your bed, and walk. Now, this is so awesome. The lame man didn't even respond the right way. Didn't even give Jesus the correct answer. He responded with excuses. He responded in doubt. He responded in fear. He responded in complacency, accepting the fact that this has been my mess for the last 38 years. He responded in a way that really should have just left him right where he was. But do you know that our doubts, our excuses, our pride, our sin, our mess can't change the plan of Jesus Christ to reach down and save our soul? It won't change. The plan of salvation went forth well before you and I were born. God worked it out in heaven well before we even existed. 2,000 years ago, he sent his son Jesus. God and Jesus didn't sit around trying to figure out, let's see which ones are going to be doubtful and which ones are going to make excuses when we approach them. And let's see which ones are going to be right on. But let me tell you something. Jesus said it in Mark chapter 2. He said, look. He said, people that are doing okay, they don't need a physician. I've come for sick people. I didn't come to save the righteous. I came to save sinners. I'm not looking for people that think they got it all together. And my salvation overrides your efforts to look like and to sound like you got it together. He just shows up. He just presses on right in. And he just says, now stop that. And the word still says it. This is what he's basically saying. He doesn't have any more time for our doubts. He doesn't have any more time for our sin and our mess. He just shows up in all of his glory and all of his love for us and all of his mercy. And we're still rattling off the names of those that have rejected us and those who have pushed us on by and those who have gotten ahead of us and those who I thought were going to help me and those who I'm still waiting to help me. And yet he just says, get up. Don't stop. Get up. I'm here. Get up. Which means get. That means this dead place that you're in. Get up. Because it's in the power of Jesus Christ, his resurrection power, the mess that he took on the cross straight to the grave, and Jesus resurrected from the grave on the third day. That's the same resurrection power that calls us to get up out of the mess. To get up. And now he says, get up. And then he says, take up your bed. You take up your bed. You have to change the place where you're sleeping. I'm adopting you into my kingdom. That's what that represents. That you're no longer going to be sleeping in mess. You're no longer going to be sleeping in darkness. You're no longer going to be sleeping in that place of just despair. You're going to take up your bed because you're moving on up with me. That's the good news. That's the good news. Praise God. My brothers and sisters, this bed that we sleep in every night all through here in New York City, that's not it. Praise God. We can kiss the cockroaches goodbye. No more roaches, no more rats, no more bugs. Can I be transparent with you? God has provided a home for us right now temporarily where we are, my wife and my family. But the place where we stay, we have these awful stink bugs, right? I don't even know if you know what they are because there really ain't that many here in New York. But there's these nasty little bugs about halfway between the size of a big ant and a big roach. And they fly and they stink if you try to smash them, right? I got to tell you, you're going to laugh at me, but having to deal with some of this stuff, and I've been in some other places where it's a mess, it just so reminds me that I've been adopted into the kingdom of God, and one day we're going home to be with Jesus. This is all going to pass away. It really is. It's all going to pass away. And so when Jesus is speaking to this man to get up, to take up your bed, It's more than just, he didn't just want to just bring healing to his physical body. He wanted him to know that you've been adopted into the kingdom of God. When Jesus died on the cross, that was the process of adoption for you and I. And the deal was sealed with his blood that was shed on Calvary. When his blood was shed on Calvary and he died as a substitute for us, that was the process of adoption. He took our place so that the Father, through his Son Jesus Christ, could now adopt us. We could be reconciled back to our daddy in heaven. Man, that's awesome. And so he says, you get up, take up your bed, and now you walk. Now you walk. You've been laying around too long. You see, when you receive Jesus Christ, when you receive your healing, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, when you receive Jesus as the restorer of your life, you can get up, you can take up your bed, but you can walk with Jesus. There's a different type of a walk. So many people in our city, I watch them. You walk around, right? You can see it in their faces. The next time you walk out of here, when you see people walking in fear. You see people walking in doubt. You see people walking in anger. You see people walking in bitterness. But is there a people that are going to receive the healing that comes from Jesus and walk with him in joy and strength and in his power and in his grace and in his mercy? That's a different type of walk. That's a walk saying, I'm only here temporarily. This is a walk saying, Jesus has set me free from sin. This is a walk saying, I've got the joy of the Lord. It's been rough. I've gone through 38 years. 38 years, it's been a mess. But Jesus has set me free. It's a walk knowing that this is all going to pass away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that day was the Sabbath. In verse 10, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath and it's not lawful for you to take up your bed. I mean, come on now. Here they all frustrated because according to man's structured laws, according to religion, he was not supposed to pick up the bed. But they didn't even recognize that the man had been healed by God. But come on now, let me tell you something. When you receive your healing, this is so much different than just religion. Religion that is void of Jesus, that doesn't have Jesus, it's just man's structure of laws. It's just a routine that you go through. But when you receive healing in Jesus Christ, that's a life lived in miracles, in his healing, and in his power. It's more than just religion. And I want you to know, if you're coming in tonight, and you're coming in because, this is what I'm just was supposed to do. And this is what I do routinely. And this is regularly. And I never really just kind of feel it the way everybody feels. You know, the whole thing is really nice. But I want you to know that, you know, this is more than just religion. This is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's everything that we do in here. It's centered on Jesus Christ, our Savior, who set us free from our sin, who's restored our lives, who has said to us, you get up from your mess and you take up your bed. You've been adopted into my kingdom and you walk with me. You walk with me. This is my sister said it so beautifully. She said when she wasn't saved, it was Islam and everything else. Praise God. We're not too far from that. For us here, it's Jesus and everything else. Jesus and everything else. Everything else falls under Jesus. He's my central focus. He's my Savior. He gets all the glory. He answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. They asked him, who is this man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. In verse 14, it says, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I'm working. I'm working. I'm about my Father's business. That's what Jesus says. Don't check me on what I'm doing on Sunday. Sunday's all about me. Sunday's all about Jesus. And if Jesus wants to bring healing on Sunday, he's going to bring healing. If Jesus wants to bring healing in our lives on Monday, he's going to bring healing. He can do whatever he wants to do. But are we willing to answer the question? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Do you really want to know who this is that comes before you? Do you really want to know what this gospel is, this good news? Do you really want to live this each and every day, knowing exactly what the cross means, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me? And because of his death on the cross, I'm healed. He brings healing. There's power in the blood. He brings healing. He brings healing to our physical body. Yes, he does. He heals. He's the great physician. He can bring healing tonight in the name of Jesus. He brings healing. He brings healing to the mind. For those of you that might be struggling in the mind, we go through that, man, sometimes. Man, just wrestling with so much. I don't know if you've ever been in that place where you'd be like, I feel like I'm just going crazy. Just feel like my thoughts are everywhere. But he brings healing to the mind. He can heal your mind. He can heal your body. But it's not complete until he's healed your soul. Until he set you and I free from sin. See, that's why he comes back to him. He says, look, he said, you're healed, right? Hey, let me tell you, this is what I've done for you. If you don't understand it, Jesus is saying, if you don't understand it, you're completely healed. When he says to him, go and sin no more, because I don't want anything else to happen to you. Listen, he's not condemning him. He's not threatening him. He's speaking about the beauty of his forgiveness that he offers to us. He's saying, go sin no more. It's through me that the chains and the bondage of sin has been broken. If you receive my forgiveness, it's broken. You're healed from sin. You're healed from the sinful bondage that has held you down for 38 years. It is broken by me, by my power. What I did on the cross, I took that mess, 38 years of your mess. I took it to the cross and I broke its power. I broke the power of sin. I broke the power of death. Now you go and sin no more, he said. You're healed. Your body is healed. Your mind is healed. Your physical body's healed. Your mind is healed. Your spirit, your soul is healed. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to our Savior. And we listen to this story. I read it and I say, man, what a moment. A moment that Jesus will put his eyes on this man who's been in sin for 38 years. He's so kind. He's so faithful. He sees all things. He wants you and I as his people to know that you can be healed, completely healed. No more doubt. 38 years of guilt, no more. 38 years of waiting for your dad maybe to say sorry, no more. Here's healing in Jesus Christ. 38 years maybe wondering, will my mother ever come back? Nah, there's healing through the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know if she'll ever come back, but my God restores you and I unto himself. And that's the greatest healing you could ever experience. It's the greatest miracle that you and I, our soul, would be healed through Christ Jesus. Sickness and disease, he heals. He heals. But you've got to believe. You've got to believe in faith. Worship team, could you come right now? Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Do you want complete healing? Do you want to be completely whole tonight? Hallelujah. You can't escape his love anyway. He's going to call us anyway. We're going to walk out these doors. And that's who I walk with. I walk with a God who, even as I walk up and down the street, get in my car, I might have some of the most toughest days. And yet I know that it's the voice of the Lord that continues to say to me, you get up, David. You get up and you pick up your bed. Don't wallow in your mess. Don't wallow in despair. And you walk with me. I am your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I am the God that heals. It's by my stripes, yeah, the whip, the lashes on my back that I took for you. By my stripes, you're healed. I went to the cross for you. You're healed. Will we respond to the question today? I want you to come to the altar today if this message has spoken to you. I want you to come. I want you to come to Jesus Christ and receive complete healing. I want you to surrender every bit of the mess. I don't care how long it's been. You might think that you're used to it. God isn't used to it. He's not used to the mess. He's forever chasing us. He's forever pursuing us with his love. That's why he went to the cross, that you and I would be completely healed, healed from sin. If there's sin in your life, you need to repent. And he's faithful to forgive you this evening. He said it 2,000 years ago to this man. He's saying it to you right now. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Let's worship the Lord. Let's stand up. Let's make room for those that need to get up out of their seats and come to the altar. I tell you, don't let this pass you by. Jesus is here. Do you want to be healed? Let's make this time with him. Come before the Savior Jesus Christ and allow him to heal you. Thank you, God. God for healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. I come before you, Lord, and I confess my sin. I confess you are Jesus, the one who died on the cross in my place. And it is through you that I find redemption, that I am restored. Through your blood that was shed on Calvary. It's by your stripes I am healed. I need you, Jesus. To cleanse me, make me whole again, set me free, deliver me from all. And I confess that you, God, will never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. Make me a new creature, whole again. Bring healing to my body. Heal my mind. Heal me from sin. Thank you, Jesus, for your resurrection power. I believe tonight that I am risen with Christ. I have picked up my bed, and I will walk with you, Jesus, all the days of my life. All the days of my life. All glory belongs to you, Jesus. My life is now in your hands because of your mercy, because of your grace. Thank you for loving me, Jesus, when I didn't even love myself. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God.